While you're turning to Mark chapter 8 and verses 34, look to the next one next to you and say, this is going to be a good one. Even if he messes it up, it's still going to be a good one. Mark chapter 8, starting at verse 34 and reading over to verse 38. Then he, and that's talking about Jesus here, then he called the crowd to him along with his disciples and said, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me and for the gospel will save it. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? If anyone is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of them when he comes in his Father's glory with the holy angels. Father God, as we just take a moment to really grasp on to what you're saying to us here this morning and what you've said through us, even through our prayer time, and Lord Jesus, our hearts would be open and ready to receive it. And we'll give you honor and we'll give you praise. We invite you to speak to us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, the last couple weeks, this has been our theme. Last week, I basically said a message of Matthew saying, the Lord saying to Matthew, follow me. And this morning, this is basically the same vein. So if we really looked at last week, we see that we found that Jesus had the nerve to sit with sinners. And Jesus had the nerve to sit with those that weren't exactly like him, and that even the religious people threw a fit and were offended that he did that. That he would have the gall or the nerve to associate with the people that most of even the religious people thought should be avoided. We saw that in that passage of Scripture last week that there was political unrest. We saw that there was spiritual upheaval. We saw that people had really no loyalty to each other. We saw that every bit of that could be pointing to today. It's the same today. You see the things like that going on every day. And yet we're trying to journey through this polluted, worldly, selfish society that God calls us to be different, calls us to follow him, calls us in this text this morning to deny ourselves and follow him. And then Matthew uses these two words, follow me. Our Jesus uses these two words to Matthew, follow me. And Matthew gets up and follows him and begins to have a journey with him. And we saw last week that every one of us are called to ministry. Amen? Not just the preachers, not just the leaders, but every single one of us are called to some ministry, some kind of area of reaching out to those that we come in contact with, reaching out to those that need to know the gospel. And we see that the journey begins right where you're at. Say amen. The journey for all of us begins right where we're at. We're not all at the same spot, but our journey begins right where we're at and should end where God wants us to be. Say amen to that. That's where the journey should begin, and where it should end is we should be where God wants us to be, both in this world and for eternity. That our desire is doing what God wants us to do, and in the end we will spend eternity and not be focused so much on this world that we don't accomplish what God wants for us to accomplish. Matthew 7 says, the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Now that's a harsh statement. Why? Because really our greatest joy should come from serving God. Our greatest joy should come from being involved in other people's lives. And that means that we need to deny ourselves sometimes, that we need to separate ourselves and not be like the selfish world at times and begin to follow the ways of the Lord. And if you look in this chapter, you can see that Jesus begins to talk about his death, and you see that it was confusing to the disciples and especially Peter, because you look at Peter, Jesus asks him, who do people say I am? And he answers, and then eventually he ends up saying, you are Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And now here's Jesus talking about dying. He's talking about, you know, following him, and Peter's looking at it and he says, death? How can death be the path of victory when victory has to be life, and it has to be conquering the enemy, and it has to be bringing justice to the wrong that the people are having to go against? And Peter rebukes Jesus. Now, you think you're having a bad day, try rebuking Jesus. And he says, you know, and Jesus comes right back to him and says, get thee behind me, Satan. Now, you think you're spiritual until Jesus would tell you, get behind me, Satan. And then suddenly you would really realize that you don't have all the answers. And when Jesus does this, Peter is stunned. He thought that Jesus was having this meltdown, that, you know, how could he say, you know, get thee behind me, Satan, that he's having this meltdown, and Jesus, you know, rebukes him, and he makes a statement that you don't have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns. The mindset of denying yourself and following God is this: Jesus has to be first. Say amen. Jesus has to be first. If you are going to follow that directive from God, Jesus has to be first. What is Jesus wanting from us? And what is Jesus wanting to do to us and have us be a part of? And anything less than that would be not putting Jesus first. And Jesus gathers this crowd, and he gathers his disciples, and I believe that he's gathering us this morning, and makes a statement: if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. He doesn't say, pick up other people's cross. He says, pick up your cross. He doesn't say, well, when you get around to it, go ahead and pick it up. He says, pick it up. He says, now. Luke's account of this passage actually adds the word daily, and I like that. Pick up your cross daily, which means that it's a daily thing that you should be doing to make sure that you're right with the Lord, to make sure that you're denying yourself in the areas that God wants you to move and be different in. And in context, the crowd heard him say, deny yourself and pick up your cross. They were baffled, because they understood the cross a certain way. And I think in society today, we miss out on the cross. We miss out on what Jesus did, and we have our own ideas of what the cross was. But when Jesus was saying to them, deny yourself and pick up your cross, they understood the cross. They understood how the Romans put people on the cross and how they tortured them and did unimaginable things to them, and then even ridiculed them and mocked them while they were dying. They understood that Jesus was asking them to pick up that cross, that by picking up that cross would involve some pain, it would involve some sacrifice, and it would not be about you. Amen? And Jesus always leads us by example here. We see all through Scripture, Jesus never asks us to do something that he hasn't already done himself, and he promises that he'll see us through this. Now think about this. Jesus tells us that to live for God, that you need to die to yourself. To be more like Jesus. Less about you, more about Jesus. Involving is dying to self and seeing more of him in you than the world. Jesus shows us that we must move towards death of ourselves and be more like Christ. Those disciples, most of them paid the ultimate price. They were the ones that made the ultimate sacrifice. They were most martyred by their faith. They chose to live out their faith. They chose to live out even if the cost cost them their lives. And I say today, how many Christians today are willing to die for their faith? How many Christians today would be willing to die to self? willing to die to self-glory, willing to die that the worldly desires that go outside of God's will would be put aside. Death to the easy life. Say amen to that, because sometimes we think as soon as you come to Christ, it should be easy. And any time that any conflict comes against us, that God has abandoned us and forgot us, and we forget that in third world countries that every day their faith is tested, and that, you know, they have to go through things unimaginable, but we're going to learn it. Death to unhealthy desires for money. 1,000 different deaths, I believe I could just state here, that would speak to us saving ourselves and you know, living outside of where God wants us. Here's an observation and then a thought. One observation is Christian life is hard. Say amen to that? Did I have to really tell you that? Would that be an Einstein moment where you have to say, oh, I'm glad you told me that. I'm glad you told me that the Christian life was hard. I'm glad you told me that not everyone likes being Christians or likes Christians. But that's why Jesus said that we didn't have to do it alone. He understands that it's hard. Nothing says sacrifice like dying to yourself. And nothing shows the value that we have in Jesus than living our lives out and acknowledging who we live for. Now, my thought is this, and forgive me, here's my thought, and you can grab it, you can set it aside, you can believe all of it or a part of it, but here's what I really believe. I believe in our quest in recent days, our quest in disciplining people, that we have become a society that has lost discipline as a means to correct. And I'll tell you why I say that. It's because we have not given anyone permission to correct you. We've taken it away. Where God was able to at one time say, you know what, this is the way that you need to live and this is how it's going to be. If not, you're going to be corrected. We create a God that doesn't say that. We create a God that's okay with anything we're doing, and we justify it. Society today is pushing that even the adults and parents more and more can't tell their kids what to do. That we're living in a society that if you went to school or to church, discipline becomes something that is not allowed. And when I think of that, I think of all the irate parents that every time their good little Johnny creates a problem in a public setting, instead of saying, well, Johnny, when you get home, we're going to have a discussion about this, because that is not how we taught you. It becomes, don't correct my child. Don't make him or her do that. There's no accountability for our actions, because our society is always willing and ready to blame someone else, that it's someone else's fault why they do what they do. And then we wonder why God struggles when he lays down his groundwork to us, and we think that we have a right to say, you know what, God, I like this, I don't like this, so I will do this and I won't do that. And it's hard. It's hard for society, especially the West, and we dealt with the West and third world countries. I think persecution draws people closer to God. And we've lived in a day and age that, yeah, we have our struggles, but it's not like the struggles in the third world countries where we're seeing God do these amazing things. It's hard for someone to die for a cause unless they believe in the cause wholeheartedly. And that's where God has to change hearts. That's where God has to get involved, that no one is willing to make that ultimate sacrifice unless they think the price paid is worth it. And a lot of you know that I was out at Lackland Air Force Base, I guess it's 2 weeks ago now, and I wrote down here what I learned at Lackland Air Force Base. And you might want to write these down, because I think it fits everyone in our lives. Here's a couple things I learned watching my grandson go through some of his training. I watched some others. I watched some drill sergeants drill some people. And here's what I took away from that. To be broken of self brings obedience for your good, not for your pleasure. Let that sink in a minute. Now remember, I'm sitting on a military base. To be broken of self brings obedience for your good, not your pleasure. Number two, to be given responsibility makes you accountable for your actions. There is no such thing as a one man or one woman military. Last one, correct discipline can save your life when you are facing adversities. So when you see this scripture again, if anyone wishes to come after me, let him deny himself and let him take up the cross and let him follow me. You've got to make a decision whether you're going to deny yourself and move first with God. You need to take up your cross, which would be obedience and willing to be disciplined, and you need to follow Jesus. There's so many people that want to follow Jesus from a distance. And this really is the Christian faith. If you were really to look at it, this really is the Christian faith. Follow Jesus, make him first, live according to his word, and accept the gift that he's given you. That is the Christian faith. Jesus never said that following him would be easy. He never said that if you followed him, suddenly every wrong that was ever done to you will be made right. That's what we think. In our own minds, we think, well, just follow Jesus. And all of a sudden, every wrong that's ever been done to us, he will make everything right. Doesn't promise us that. Everything we did wrong would suddenly be corrected. Not only what people done to us would be justified and taken care of, but yet every wrong that we done, it would be corrected. And I want you to know that Jesus never bribed us to follow him. He never bribed us. He never said, you follow me and I'm going to make life easy. I'll meet every need you ever have, every want that you ever have. He doesn't say it. And in fact, some of these prosperity teachings that are going along and out today makes us believe that if we follow God, everything's going to be right. And then as soon as something goes wrong, we're quick to blame God. We're quick to bail out on our faith. Jesus never offered peace from harm. He just offers that in him we would find peace. He never painted this pretty picture of what life on this side of heaven is. He says, in fact, he promises that on the other side is where our rewards are. And on the other side is the beautiful part of the blessings, even though he gives us blessings on this side. Sir Winston Churchill said this, and I love this, bear with me a minute. All I offer this country is blood, sweat, and tears. During a time of turmoil, that's what he said to him as he addressed his nation. He said, all I have to offer this country is blood, sweat, and tears. Garibaldi, the great Italian patriot recruiting soldiers, said this, I offer neither pay nor quarters nor provisions. I offer hunger, thirst, forced marches, battles and death. Let him who loves his country in his heart and not only with his lips follow me. See, the only thing that Jesus denies are the things that will rob us of his blessings, that would rob us of the joy that God wants and desires for our lives. Hebrews 11 says this, this is Moses, chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He regarded disgrace for the sake of God as a greater value than the treasures of Egypt because he was looking ahead to his reward. Matthew tells us, straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leads unto life, and few there are that find it. No one with inflated egos will fit through those gates. Narrow is the way. No one with inflated egos or self-righteousness can fit through the gate. Only one entrance into the kingdom of God by way of Jesus Christ. And the demand of bearing a cross is universal. He says to all of us, not just to the 12, not just to the leaders, not just to the spiritually elite. He says to all of us that walk with him. And our text indicates that it's a mandate not issued just to the 12. Any man, any woman who will go after him. Picking up your cross means that you're going into a deeper relationship with him because you are giving him permission to go deeper in yourselves and in your lives. Amen? Whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. It's harsh, but it's an absolute impossibility to be a Christian and want and not do what God wants you to do and not be desiring the things of God. Taking up your cross is intentional. You don't accidentally pick up your cross. You intentionally pick up your cross. And as we close this morning, I have one thought for you. I have one thought for you. That maybe it would be easier to deny yourself. It would be easier to follow Jesus if your picture of God was bigger. Do you hear me this morning? Because I guarantee you, whatever size your God is, God's bigger. Do you hear me this morning? Whatever size you can picture, whatever size you can imagine, whatever perimeters that you put around your God, God is bigger. And maybe it would be easier if you served a bigger God. Instead of dwelling on all the evil that exists in the world, you center on the fact that God is stronger, smarter than you are. I know that shocks some people, but and because of his mercy, he has provided a way of salvation that doesn't make sense to unbelievers, but that doesn't change the truth of the reality. Do you hear me this morning? It doesn't change the truth of the reality. God doesn't have to give you an explanation of why he's doing something. Do you hear me? God doesn't have to. He chooses to sometimes because of his goodness, but he does not have to give you an explanation why he has done something or why he has allowed something to happen to you. But praise God, he gives you revelation. Do you get that? There's a big difference. He doesn't have to explain to us, but he gives us revelation because he tells us and shows us and gives us an opportunity to know who he is. Not what he's doing all the time in our lives, but who he is. And he knows he owes nothing as an explanation because he chooses to reveal who he is, that we would know him. And because we would know him, we would follow him. And the one that says, follow me, if you're going to follow me, he says, you must become more like me and less like yourself. If you understood this, it would be better understanding that scripture that we just read about, let us deny ourselves and pick up our cross. Wow. Here it is in a nutshell. You want to be my disciple? Follow me. You want to do your own thing? You will lose your life. Serve me and you will gain your life. And then he goes on to say, what good is it to gain the whole world if you lose your soul? And he goes on to say, if you're ashamed of me now, that I will not acknowledge you later. Christians need to not forget to come to the cross. They need to not forget that they come to the cross for salvation. They come to the cross for the needs that they're just begging God to do. But sometimes we just need to come to the cross because of who Jesus is. Let me share this kind of caught my eye this week. And I think about all the busyness, and I hear about how busy people are, and they are. And I sometimes wish that we could pick out some blocks of time that would give them some more time. So here, this crazy thing that I heard this week, and I'm going to close the sermon with it. 1 million seconds. Anybody know what 1 million seconds is? It's 11 or 12 days. I can't remember what I had yesterday for lunch. So I don't know what a million seconds ago what I was doing. Billion seconds. 31.5 years. Some of you don't know what that is because maybe you're not 31.5 years old yet. Then I think of the scripture that says, "Before time was, I was," says God. Meaning that before God made us, he didn't have any worries about time. What's time to God? He was forever. What's 1 million seconds to God? What's 1 billion seconds to God? And then you really want to blow your mind 1 trillion seconds ago. I don't think anybody was around then. 31,688.74 years ago. 29,000 years B.C. I heard one joke that was said that was probably the first year that the first Rocky movie came out. Do you get it this morning that God doesn't have a problem with time? We do. We run out of time. And God's calling us to a holy life. God's calling us to make an impact. God's calling us to be all that he wants us to be. Amen? Do you believe it this morning? And will you live it? That's the question. Not only did you hear me, but are you going to determine and tell the Lord that you're going to live it? Father, I thank you this morning for your goodness. Each one of us can grab a nugget of truth here. I don't care if you've been a Christian for 1 minute or you've been a Christian for 90 years, this message was for every one of us. Time gets away from us. It's not your problem, it's our problem. We live between the dashes. Father, help us to make that time profitable for ourselves in our walk with you and profitable in the lives that you put before us and that we come in contact with. Allow that to make a difference. In Jesus' name, amen.